Namaste, my friends. Welcome back. Or if you're new here, welcome to the podcast. The Harmony Inspired Health Podcast brings you raw and real conversations from leaders in the industry about all things health, wellness, Ayurveda, and life. My name is Harmony, and I am your podcast host. I am an Ayurveda and integrative health practitioner who specializes in women's hormonal health, a registered nurse, and a business mentor. I'm on a mission to inspire, educate, and empower women to take charge of their health, wealth, and life. Don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much from my soul to yours. Hello, beautiful souls. Thank you so much for dropping in here and listening to this episode. I did just want to share with you, though, that this episode is number 5 in a 5-part mini series, The Foundations of Ayurveda. So the very first episode was an intro to Ayurveda, and then we went on to speak about Ayurvedic psychology. The third one was on the Ayurvedic elements, and then we went into the Ayurvedic doshas, and now we are speaking about Dinacharya, which is daily routine and Ayurvedic nutrition. So if you haven't heard the other 4 episodes, then you're welcome to listen to this one first, but I suggest also going back and listening to the other 4 as well. I really hope that you enjoy this episode. It's my pleasure to bring it to you. And thank you so much for listening. I really appreciate you and being part of my community. So welcome back, everybody. If you've been tuning in to the 5-part mini series on the foundations of Ayurveda, this is the final video. It is Dinacharya and Ayurvedic nutrition. So Dinacharya is our daily routine. And it's one of the first things that an Ayurvedic practitioner will look at when you have a consultation with them. They may prescribe different lifestyle modifications that will help bring your dosha back into a balanced state throughout the analyzing what you are already doing, what you're eating, your day-to-day activities. An Ayurvedic lifestyle is based on 3 different things, and that is routine, because routine is really grounding and nurturing for the doshas. So it pacifies the doshas and brings you back into a more balanced state of being. A good routine also sets you up for success in your day and in your life, and it really helps to regulate the central nervous system, because we know what we will be doing. There's ways that we can recalibrate our system. The other thing is moderation and tuning into nature's circadian rhythm, which in turn will balance the doshas, as I mentioned, your hormones, help mitigate stress, and improve your Agni, which is your digestive fire. And we'll be speaking about that more in the Ayurvedic nutrition section. Oh, I've missed a slide. There we go. So a routine starts your day off right, and it brings you into more of a sattvic state of mind. And if you watch the Ayurvedic psychology lesson that I did, we spoke about the mahagunas, and sattva was one of the states of mind. It's that purity, that bliss, that contentment. A daily routine is the foundation of a healthy lifestyle, and it doesn't have to be long and drawn out. So when we talk about Ayurvedic routines, traditionally, yes, they were really long. Like back in the day when there was a lot more, I guess, and I'm going back hundreds of years ago, when there was a lot more time to do these type of things. But still, we can implement that in our modern world with a routine that's tailored for you and your dosha. And so 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, whatever you have is a really good starting point. And I always suggest do something that lights you up in the morning and go from there, because you want to get into that vibrational place of love, of joy, of health, of peace, of contentment, whatever that vibration is that you are wanting to bring forward in your life and in your day. One thing that some of the most successful people in the world have in common is morning routine. And trust me, I've done a lot of research on this. So think Oprah, Tony Robbins, and the top athletes around the world. They all praise their motivation on building healthy habits and routines that set them up for success each day. So this is a typical Ayurvedic Dinacharya routine. So you would wake up when the sun rises or just before. You would wash your face, scrape your tongue with an Ayurvedic tongue scraper. You might do some oil pulling or some nausea. Nausea is always a really useful thing to do in the morning because it's stimulating, it opens the senses, and that is just dropping a few drops of oil in the nasal passages. And then sip on warm water or herbal tea. You want to make sure that you're eliminating the bowels and the bladder, so you're going to the bathroom. Self Abhyanga, which is a massage with warm oil to help stimulate the lymphatic flow. Now, this step might maybe preferable before your shower, so then you can wash the oil off after massage. This is a really beautiful thing to be done in the morning. But to be honest, with my routine, I don't do it in the morning. When I do Abhyanga, it's usually in the evening when I have a little bit more time and space to do it. But I always love to take or start the morning with some really deep and purposeful breaths. So I always take 5 deep breaths, really long inhales and even longer exhales. And that just really centers me and gets me into my body to start the day. And 5 breaths, it doesn't take a long time, guys. That's what I mean. You can have these micro routines that are absolutely life-changing. And then you might want to do some form of movement. That might be practicing some sun salutations, some stretching, some yoga asanas, or whatever is your most preferred method of movement that you know is really helpful for your mental health. And this is one thing that I don't usually skimp on. I always do some form of movement in the morning, whether that is going to the gym, going for a run, doing yoga, doing Pilates, doing Muay Thai, doing stretching, going for a walk with my dogs. I always do some form of movement. And then take a shower or a bath, so you're cleansing yourself, and then you have your breakfast according to your dosha. Moving on to Ayurvedic nutrition. Ayurvedic nutrition and digestion is a huge topic, so we're only going to cover the very, very, very basics in this class. We go into great depth of Ayurvedic nutrition, including Ayurvedic cleanses, in the Ayurvedic Alchemist program that certifies you to become an Ayurvedic holistic health coach. So if it is something that you're really interested in learning, then please get in contact with us. Ayurveda nutrition should be considered as individualized medicine for the mind, body, and soul, as food plays an essential role in our overall health, physically, mentally, and emotionally, and according to Ayurveda, even spiritually. Ayurveda sees food as medicine, or alternatively, it can become poison. And it's not to say that there are just really, really bad foods for everybody. It depends on our Agni, our digestive system, and it depends on you as an individual. So there's a saying that one man's medicine can be another man's poison, because we're all so different and individual, and Ayurvedic nutrition really looks at that. There is also another Ayurvedic saying that is, we are, it's not we are what we eat, but we are what we digest. Because Ayurveda teaches us the importance of nutrition and health. It lays not just in what we take in, what we consume and ingest, but more so how we actually digest, break that food up, and use the nutrients from the food, and how our body responds to that. So let's have a look at the process of food digestion and why it is so important. All food goes on to build the tissues in our body. How does this happen, you might ask? Well, first of all, food travels from the mouth to the beginning of the digestive tract and then the stomach. Once it is in the stomach, the food turns into chyme, which is a paste. From here, the chyme moves into the small intestine, and some of the food nutrients gets absorbed into the circulatory system, filtered by the liver, and then moves to then build new healthy tissues of the body. some of the food mass moves from the small intestine to the large colon, and then the waste is eliminated from the body when you eliminate your bowels. An imbalanced digestive fire, and we use the word agni and system, will not break down your nutrients to nourish the tissues in an optimal way. Undigested waste will turn into armor, which is toxins, and this can accumulate in the digestive tract, causing inflammation and increased gut permeability. Increased gut permeability leads to leaky gut, and this is where the villi in the small intestine separates. We have these finger-like little projections on the inside of our small intestine, and they're meant to be really tight junctions. But with leaky gut, they start to separate, and then they let bigger food particles get through, and they can start circulating into the bloodstream. This will cause malabsorption, and it can also cause food sensitivities and autoimmune reactions. Due to the malabsorption of proper nutrients, the body tissues are not nourished properly, leading to dis-ease and imbalance in the body. Ayurvedic practitioners and doctors place great emphasis on the digestive system, the digestive fire, our agni, and metabolism, and how it can impact the balance right throughout our body. A lot of Ayurvedic treatments aim to cleanse or treat the digestive system. To prevent the buildup of ama, the toxins, Ayurveda really advocates for a good, healthy routine, so dinacharya, as we've just spoken about, and treating food as medicine. One of the main goals of Ayurvedic nutrition is to support agni. And as I explained, the term agni is used to explain the digestive fire, which is similar to what we call our metabolic rate, our metabolism. But the agni isn't, in Ayurveda, the agni isn't just defined as the agni of the digestive system. There is agni in all of our cells. Your agni determines how well you digest your food, create healthy bodily tissues, and the word for that in Ayurveda is called dhatus, and produce ojas, which is our immunity and vitality. So ways that we can support agni is to eat at the same time each day. Having regularity of meals assists your body's clock in recognizing when it needs to increase digestive enzymes and metabolic function in order to break down the anticipated meal so that you can digest your food properly. Our body is actually really intelligent when we do give it a routine. So it will start to create the enzymes needed at certain times of day to break down the food if you get yourself into a regular routine with your meals. You want to eat a light diet that is easy to digest. Eating too little food and the fire will start to dwindle out, whilst eating too much will smother the fire. So you want to eat good proportionate meals according to your dosha. Cooked foods are much easier to digest than raw foods. So if you have trouble with digesting a big raw salad and you feel really bloated and uncomfortable after eating it, then you would opt for cooked vegetables instead and see how that feels, because they break down a lot easier in our digestive system. Another way to support agni is to drink warm water, or at least room temperature water. So do not drink ice cold water, as this puts the fire out. Drinking directly before, after, or with meals will also dilute your digestive enzymes, which you need to break down your food. So if you're sculling a whole lot of water or fluid before or with your meal, then you might feel really bloated and really sluggish, and it might take a lot to start to break down the food that you've ingested because you're diluting the potency of the digestive enzymes. To keep the agni strong, we only sip on warm water or herbal tea with our meals, or just sip, you know, you want to sip some water, but don't scull a whole lot of water. And then regular exercise is really important because it stimulates your metabolic rate, it helps the lymphatic system, it helps everything to move. Ayurveda recommends a sattvic diet made up of pure foods that promote health, vitality, and clarity. It also recommends eating really mindfully. And this is something that we really struggle with in the modern world. And I see a lot of clients, this is a really big thing for them. They'll have their breakfast and they'll just be scrolling on their phone, really eating mindlessly, not even aware of the calories they're consuming, the types of food, the taste they're consuming. So they're not experiencing the whole event that eating is. And it should be a pleasurable, beautiful event, but also a nourishing one. And to do that, we really need to stimulate the senses and understand the taste and the smell. And all of that helps those digestive enzymes to circulate as well, when we can see the food, smell the food, enjoy and taste. But if our mind is off just scrolling on our phone doing something else, it can cause a lot of digestive upset. So you want to sit down in a quiet, non-stimulating environment. You want to give appreciation for your food, chew mindfully and slowly so that you can enjoy and notice the full flavors of the meals. Sattvic food is easy to digest and leaves you feeling lighter and more energized. Some examples of sattvic food is whole grains like rice, wheat, oats, and quinoa, fresh fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds, and legumes, organic fresh dairy. So our dairy is often full of hormones and comes from cruelty to animal, which is not sattvic in nature. Therefore, it wouldn't be seen as sattvic food. But if it's fresh organic dairy, it can absolutely be seen as sattvic and ojas promoting. Spices that are not too stimulating can have a really beautiful medicinal effect on the body and the mind. And so they can be seen as sattvic. And you want natural sweeteners, not artificial sweeteners. So jaggery, honey, and agave syrup, some of the natural ones are more sattvic than obviously the laboratory formulated ones. Now, rajasic foods, they are generally heating or stimulating and can increase some negative emotions. So these are foods that you would just have sometimes. So we want our diet to be mostly sattvic. Foods that are rajasic are often excessively sour, salty, hot, bitter, pungent, or dry, and can overstimulate the senses and take away clarity and focus. Rather than leaving you with the clarity, they leave you more unsettled or have a rushing mind. Rajasic food should really only be eaten in moderation. So if you think of caffeine, for instance, is very rajasic. It gives you the energy, well, perceived energy, because it's actually fake energy. It's not actually giving you proper energy. But you can have, some people can have anxiety, heart palpitations, a racing mind, and they find that they're not as clear because they're like, their mind is jumping from one thing to another. And this is rajasic behavior. Refined sugar is very rajasic. It spikes out insulin levels, and all of that kind of hormonal cascade event can happen when we eat those type of rajasic foods. Unripe fruit, highly pungent, spicy. So excess chili, if you've ever had excess chili, you know, you're like hyperventilating, maybe crying, going red. You can feel that rajas, that fire, that energy building up. Obviously, any stimulating food or stimulants. Garlic and onion can also be rajasic in nature, and excessive salt, foods with artificial additives. For some people, eggs can be rajasic, not for everybody. Remember, we are all individuals. And hard cheeses can also be really rajasic for some people as well. Again, not everybody. And then we have tamasic foods, and these are the ones we really, really need to be mindful of. And unfortunately, in our modern world, these are the foods that a lot of people are opting for because they believe they're time poor, or they're prioritizing other things rather than their nutrition, which is the core of their health and well-being. So tamasic foods can be heavily processed or stale foods that make you feel really dull, foggy, lethargic, or even depressed. They can be foods that are moldy, toxic in nature, including alcohol and drugs, or have been pumped with hormones such as meat and poultry. If you eat any food in excess, it can also become tamasic, as overindulging the senses and not living in the right way by overeating can cause harm to your internal and external being. So if you're going to eat tamasic foods, you really want to eat these ones sparingly. So if we were going to make a little Ayurvedic pyramid of the right type of foods to eat, we would just have the bottom most layer of sattvic food, and then rajasic foods, and then up the very top, the very least amount would be tamasic foods. So these foods include processed foods, canned foods, deep fried food, leftovers, because that can build up mold toxicity and histamine if it's been left over for a long period of time. but really burnt foods, some mushrooms. Now, there are some mushrooms that can be quite sattvic, but some of those heavy, lethargic, lethargy-inducing type of mushrooms are tamasic in nature because of the effect that they produce. Their overripe foods as well can create tamasic energy. Meat, poultry, and fish, if it is not organic, if it is, if there's been a lot of cruelty that's gone into the process of the meat, fish, and poultry, then that is going to be really tamasic for a lot of people to have the energy of that food. Fermented foods, you know, we hear a lot about fermented foods being excellent for gut health, and they are a good prebiotic. And for some people, they are fantastic. But for other people who have IBS, SIBO, some gut disorders, then fermented foods can actually cause a lot of tamas in the body. So they're not always amazing for everybody. Vinegar as well, like we hear that that can help kickstart our digestive enzymes and metabolisms. And for some people, it can be really good. For some people, it can be really tamasic and heavy in nature and cause upset in the body and the mind. And peanuts are actually seen as quite tamasic. They're actually a legume, not a nut. And often the way they're processed, they can be very, very moldy. So I think that's why they can also be in this tamasic foods section. So obviously there's a lot more rajasic, sattvic, and tamasic foods, but this is just sort of a snapshot so you kind of understand what I'm talking about when I speak of these terms. And one of the main things that we need to think of with Ayurvedic nutrition is looking for prana in your food. So sattvic food will be high in prana. There is an Ayurvedic saying, anam pranam, which means food is prana, and prana is life force energy. Food, as I mentioned, goes on to build all the tissues in the body. When I think of prana in a food, I like to give this example. If you had a fresh fruit, so say you had a fresh papaya, you can take the seeds from that papaya and you can implant those seeds in the soil, in the earth, and papaya trees will grow. But if you had canned papaya and you had some seeds end up in the can, and then you grab those canned seeds after they'd been in the can for a year or so in your cupboard and plant those seeds in the ground, no new life would grow because the prana has been taken out of that. So prana is the most freshest form of food, and it has a life force energy to it. So there might be a small amount of prana in the fruit, but it's being zapped of most of its prana. The food that we eat has a direct effect on our current state of mind. By eating a diet with natural living ingredients, we are getting a diet not only rich in nutrients, but prana. And as I said, prana is that life force energy. So if you're wanting more energy, more vitality, more strength, more immunity, more ojas, then look for foods rich in prana. It's crucial for your state of mind and your overall health. So thank you so much. Just a final note that we've gone through a lot over the last 5 episodes. And it can seem really overwhelming when you're first learning something new, but Ayurveda will meet you where you are at so that you can progress through your own journey of health, wellness, and longevity. It is available to everyone. And so I really invite you to go deeper, to learn more, especially if you have been called to learn this wisdom for yourself or to share it with others. And if you did feel really drawn to this wisdom, it is because you have been called by the great teachers who come before us. Ayurveda has so much to offer us in this modern world. My Ayurveda Alchemist program certifies you to become an Ayurveda holistic health coach. And I would love to invite you to be part of this holistic health revolution and help transform not only your own lives, but other people's lives too. It is a 12-month program and container where you really get nurtured, and we really look at all aspects of health, the physical health, mental, emotional, spiritual health. It is a beautiful, beautiful program. It's facilitated by myself and guest expert teachers to help you on your own deeper discovery of self and holistic health optimization, as well as your Ayurveda business journey. It is a 3-in-1 program, so you become a certified Ayurveda holistic health coach, but it also is a radical personal development program and a business course. So a few of our students that have been through the program and are doing so amazing within themselves and their business, Jackie said that it was totally life transforming from the inside out, mind, body, and heart. And Anna shared that she really recommends this course to anybody who's looking to increase their knowledge, but also increase their own physical and mental well-being. It'll do nothing but add value to your clients. And Melissa told us that she highly recommends it, not just to be a lifestyle and wellness coach or a holistic health coach, but to go on this beautiful journey yourself. From there, you can go out and change the lives of so many. And we have students that have graduated from this course, become established authors, been asked to be on podcasts to share their experiences, moved from corporate into full-time Ayurveda coaching, and students who have even started their own yoga studio and running Ayurvedic cleansers, and so many more beautiful success stories as well. So if they can do it, you can certainly do it. If it is a dream of yours, please, please get in contact. There are so many bonuses that come with the course. And as I mentioned, every year we have a beautiful range of guest expert speakers from all over the world. You get access to the speakers that are coming in the year that you enroll, but also all of our past speakers. You get access to the vault to watch all of their lectures. And as an Ayurveda alchemist, you're an alchemist for life, meaning that future guest teachers, you are welcome to come to any of their live lectures. That is lifetime access to international guest expert speakers. I would honestly, from the bottom of my heart, I would really like to thank you for taking this journey with me. If you found this interesting and would like to dive deeper into Ayurveda, please keep in touch. And yeah, always, you're always welcome to reach out in the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood. It's a beautiful Facebook community group that we have. And if you would like to listen to more teachings, I have a podcast with lots of awesome episodes and guest speakers. It's called Harmony Inspired Health, and you can access that where all good podcasts are played. So on all different apps, including Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. If you are interested in working one-to-one with me in my hormone solution program or becoming an Ayurveda alchemist, you are welcome to book a free clarity call so that we can get clear on your goals and aspirations. And I will let you know if I can help you. And honestly, if I can't, I will do my best to refer you to anyone that I know can help you, because that is what I'm here for. I'm here to make greater global impact. So I want to know that I can truly help you. And if I can't, I still want you to get the help you deserve and the help that you need. So please follow along Instagram, Harmony Inspired Ayurveda. The Facebook group is the Ayurveda and Women's Health Sisterhood. And my podcast is Harmony Inspired Health. Namaste, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with me. I truly, truly do appreciate you. I hope you all have a beautiful, wonderful day. Thank you so much for listening to this episode and staying right to the end. Let's take our relationship a little further and connect in the world of socials. Follow me personally on Instagram at harmony.inspired.ayurveda. My women's health clinic on Instagram is harmony_inspired_health, or join our Facebook community, the Ayurvedic Soul Sister Tribe. Reach out on any of those channels and let me know if you enjoyed the episode, what type of episodes you would like to hear more of in the future, or simply just swing by and say hi. And don't forget to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. And if you listen on iTunes, please give us a 5-star rating so the wisdom shared in these episodes can be spread far and near. Thank you so much, my friends, from my soul to yours.